following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.75%. APR 3.98%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.75%, APR 3.98%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com and find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com,
as well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show as we roll on along and getting closer to heading to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. Got a couple of special guests. Of course, everyone knows Mike Will, the voice of the Broncos. He is joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Also in studio, Mitch Mumma is going to be joining us. And I'll talk to Mitch. Is another one of the coaching guys I've known ever since I've moved and been doing this gig for about 15 years. And one of the bigger basketball fans that I know. And then recently I've learned also just an incredibly straight down the middle golfer guy. So Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Thanks for coming in. And Mike Will, with some action going on over in Hastings. Mike and I will be heading off to Chicago next week. And Michael's just come back from a couple of weeks of vacation, so I know you're refreshed and ready to go.
You are scraping the bottom of the birdcage, Doug. I mean, how many years has it been since you've asked me to be on this show?
We call well, never.
I've never co-hosted this show. The only time you call me is when something big is going on.
Yeah, we call you with breaking news, and you're always there. Well, you're busy. You're busy.
I'm busy.
You're usually at lunch during this time.
Just got back from 7 days in Vegas.
Seven days. I tell you what, you must have. I'm not saying a big pocketbook because you don't have to, but I love going to Vegas. But after about three nights, it's time to come home. You must do some different stuff while you're out there.
Oh, you don't want to know what I do. You don't want to know what I do, Doug. Anyway, I'm not auditioning for this job for Daddy's spot. Well, it's kind of like when your mother asked you to go up and fold clothes. You didn't want to do a real good job because you didn't want that job. You just kind of half-assed it. So that's what I'm doing here today.
Well, you fit perfectly in with the normal host of this show, and that of course would be me. We'll get over what's going on with the rest of the world of sports. Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State Buckeye football, is going to join us in the second half of the program today to preview the Buckeyes. Yesterday we talked with Nate Bauer, Penn State. And, of course, they're getting their own big scandal. Ohio State, it's kind of settled down there with Urban Meyer and that scandal. And we'll talk with Paul about that and how things are going. But, Mike, I'm always looking for somebody different perspective. And, obviously, being out west while the free report came out and everybody's talking about Penn State, just, I guess, your thoughts on it. Because I know you and I really haven't talked about it much.
Well, you know, I don't know where you start with that thing, you know, with Penn State. Well, are they going to get the death penalty or not? Probably not.
I guess that's what I'm looking at. What everybody has a differing opinion, no matter how harshly they view what happened at Penn State. Everybody has a different opinion on if the NCAA should be involved and to what extent. And, you know, from a Nebraska standpoint, you don't want it to be too severe because you want Penn State to be a viable program institution in the Big Ten Conference. And I'm still on the side of what is the NCAA actually penalizing? That's what I want to hear. What are they penalizing? Because everybody that had anything to do with what happened at Penn State is no longer there and will go through the justice system.
Yeah, they're far gone. Don't penalize the students and the athletes that are there now. Even the administrators that are there now. You know, Joe's not there anymore. Jerry Sandusky's not there anymore. Don't penalize Penn State now. You want to slap them with something, but don't shut down the program.
Mitch, what you got a thought on this? I mean, this is such a big thing. We talk about it. No one has ever been in this situation before, and even nationally, every time we talk about it, you're talking about new ground here. But what are your thoughts on how the NCAA, the governing body, should be involved with what they do with Penn State? Are you one of those guys that say, I don't have enough info yet? Or are you one of those guys that say something drastic needs to be done?
First of all, that was a huge tragedy that took place there at Penn State, and I feel for everybody involved. I feel that, you know, like you already mentioned, that most of the people are already gone, and I don't think it should be the death penalty. I think it should be a minor, you know, setback, and let them participate just like all the other Big Ten teams.
Yeah, I think there are going to be harsh sanctions through the normal chains of law enforcement that are going to take care of the people that that need to be taken care of. But that is going to continue, I guess. And since we're in the Big Ten and college football fans, every day this is going to be talked about. Even when you get into the football season, they're always going to say, okay, now let's check in on Penn State. Here's what they did today. Here's what the demonstrations were. Here were some of the signs. Here's the statue that got moved. Here's the kids' reaction. Because, you know, until they get settled in and they have a chance to get off to a good start. When we talked to Nate yesterday, he says, I think we can have a good football team. Not a great football team, but 8-9, maybe even 10 wins. And we all know, Mike, through sports, winning seems to heal all.
What is the right penalty, though, Doug, if we don't give them the death penalty? What is the right penalty?
This is where I have some confusion, because I want to know what the NCAA is looking at. I mean, if they're going to penalize them, what are they exactly penalizing them for? And I think I can hear people yelling out there already, is that there was a cover-up, or that there was lack of institutional control, which we hear so many times now when other schools are being penalized. But I want to know what the NCAA is looking for, and then I think I can come up with maybe a little bit better idea. I think they're gonna get banned from TV. They're gonna get
some bowl games.
They're gonna get a bowl game. I don't think it does them. I would not understand how you can yank scholarships from the program, because once you start doing that, you're already hurting the program. And by the program, I don't mean the last 50 years of the program. I mean the program right now. And this is where you get really touchy. This is a fine line for all the folks that have called the show, emailed the show, people I've talked to outside the show. It's a very fine line where you go from the past to the present. And again, I still have that problem with penalizing people that had nothing to do with it. You're bringing up Reggie Bush at USC. You're bringing up the Ohio State kids. I understand that's the way it is. The institutions are getting penalized most of the time for people that had nothing to do with it.
I can see some scholarship bans. I really can. I can see some postseason bans. No TV for a while. I can see all of that.
Well, I guess we'll play it out and see what happens. But moving on from Penn State, let's take a look at more award watch lists out this morning. 34 quarterbacks are on the Davey O'Brien list, and Taylor Martinez is one of those. So saying he's one of, basically, again, so there's 34 returning quarterbacks at Division I schools that were all conference or somewhat that way. And so you're already looking at that. And Mitch Muma and Mike Will are with me, Doug Duda, today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, no surprise that Taylor's on there.
No surprise to me. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten and probably one of the fastest quarterbacks in the country. He just needs to work on that passing technique a little bit, and I think he's been doing that this summer. And so as a huge Husker fan, I hope he solves the issues with his passing. And not that he's a horrible passer, but he just needs to be a little bit more consistent, in my opinion.
And some guys to catch the ball. Were you shocked or surprised at all, Mike?
To be one of the top 35?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, that's not a big deal, is it? Well, you're one of the top 35 quarterbacks in the nation?
I wouldn't think so.
I see a lot of folks have him number four in the Big Ten. Is that about right, you think?
I noticed Phil Steele. Yeah, I mean, the short answer to that is yeah. And we refer to Phil Steele in the Bible of college football numerous times on the Doug and Daddy show. He's got Denard Robinson, the clear number one. And then he puts Braxton Miller second team, Taylor Martinez third team, Nate Shieldhouse of Illinois fourth team. But then when you look at his overall rankings, he all has them as the co-number two quarterbacks in the league. And that's not even talking about this transfer that's coming in to Wisconsin. So my gut feeling, as everybody continues to ask in conversations, what do you think the Huskers are going to do this year? And everybody knows it, thinks that it hinges on Taylor Martinez. I, again, am in the minority there because I have confidence that Taylor Martinez will not be a problem. I'm more worried about the defense, and we'll find out maybe a little bit more next week at Media Days, but Taylor Martinez not going to Media Days, so it'll be up to the coach and the other three players on hand to answer questions about Taylor Martinez. I think we'll see early on in spring ball a maturity level. Will he be put up front to talk to the media more often? And will he be taking more of a leadership role? He's just not that kind of kid. And sometimes that frustrates Husker fans. But yeah, I think Taylor Martinez could be the best quarterback in the league at the end of the year. He's not now. I think Denard Robinson's very, very, very good. There's some pretty good talent, and he's not going to be the best passer. When you're talking about Shieldhouse and some of these other kids, they're passing quarterbacks, but they can't do with their feet what Martinez does.
I don't think so either. I think Braxton Miller from Ohio State, we're going to talk to the play-by-play guy here in a little bit. I think he's going to have a great year, although they can't play in any postseason stuff this year. Is that right?
Yeah, they're ineligible. If they win their division, they will not be able to move on to the championship game. But I guess the one good thing for them is their final game of the year is against Michigan, and there is no bigger game for Ohio State, bowl game. I mean, if they were in the national championship, fine. But if they played in the Big Ten championship or a bowl game, there would be no bigger game than Michigan, and they get Michigan at home this year to end the season. So I imagine everything pointing towards that. And I know Urban Meyer's going to try and sell him on, let's win it this year and get a streak going.
Oh, he'll play every game like it's the national championship game. Let me just throw something out. What happens if Ohio State wins every game this year?
They're going to be like Auburn. They will be placed somewhere in the top five, and they will not be voted. Unless you just have something weird where nobody's undefeated, your national champ has one loss, maybe you get a split national title there. And I'll tell you what, Mike, they have that chance to do it because their non-conference schedule is really as easy as it can be. All four games are at home. California is the big name school. They play Miami, Ohio, Central Florida. Now let's give Central Florida credit because I think a lot of folks have them in their top 25, and UAB, Alabama, Birmingham. Then when they start the conference at Michigan State and hosting Nebraska, and of course they'll have a score to settle with the Huskers. I think that's a game Nebraska loses this year at the Horseshoe as they try to redeem themselves for the collapse last year. But I think Ohio State, you know, then it's Indiana, Purdue, Penn State, Illinois. There's a chance this football team, if Urban Meyer has them in the right spot, can be 10-0 going into their last two games.
Yeah, they'll play at Wisconsin on the 17th of November and then finish off with Michigan. I'm just throwing that out. What happens if they run the table this year?
Well, and I think there's a chance they do that, although their top running back could be out for the first 3 weeks of the season. He cut his foot on a piece of glass in his yard, apparently, and bad enough that he had to have surgery.
Well, was Daddy out there? He dropped one of his beer bottles or what?
That I would not doubt. Mitch Mumma and Mike Will with me, Doug Duda here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What do you guys make of all these preseason lists? Mitch, do you pay attention when this comes out? Okay, it's cool that a Husker's on there and it gives us something to talk about on the radio and put in the newspaper. Or do you even pay attention that Spencer Long and Baker Steinkuhler are up for these awards and Taylor Martinez is up for this award and Brett Maher is up for this award?
No, I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to that. You know, a lot of players, you know, recognize in preseason. It comes down to you know, production on the field, and you know, we're happy that they are recognized early in the season. But with their hard work and excellent conditioning program and excellent coaches that Nebraska does have, you know, we hope, you know, once the season starts that they can produce on the field and get better each week.
Mike, it helps us fill sportscasts.
That's what I was going to say. For us sports guys, nothing else is going on this time of the year, so we love those things. And it's like the preseason ratings. Yeah, how many people pay attention to the preseason ratings in July or at the end of June? I do.
Yeah, I do
because
I do
we
too.
Need the stuff. But a normal person, do they really pay attention? Do they really care?
They want to know where their favorite team is if it's not Nebraska, and they want to know where Nebraska is. But we talk about this when we get close to kickoff every year, and especially at the end of the year when we're talking these playoffs. I pay attention to these polls because they will determine the national champion at the end of the year, because you know if you're outside the top 10, 12, yep, you have to run the table because you're just not going to crawl to the top of the list. It's possible. But you have to go undefeated. I mean, Auburn was like 21st or something when they won the national title in the preseason poll. They had to go undefeated. But if you're Alabama and you start 1, 2, or 3, you can lose a game. Hell, LSU lost 2 games and still found a way to get in the national championship because they are in the SEC.
Remember, they always say lose early.
Oh,
if you're
going
to lose within the first few weeks of the season, then you can still have a shot at the national championship. I think it's still true today.
Well, I don't like that either. I don't like
I know.
That.
You don't like a lot of things. Well, that's one thing I've figured out in this show. You don't like a lot of things. You know, I always hear you whining about ESPN. What football game are we going to watch this week? Or, geez, why does Nebraska have to play at 11?
I always
are
hate
you like
that.
The program director for ESPN or what?
I hate 11 a.m. games.
I know. I
hate
know.
Those.
Yeah, you always whine.
Here's something for you though, because I know you're at home on the couch most of the time when you're not calling Bronco games. Here's something that comes across this morning. Guess who's going to have his new who's the latest reality show? It's going to be on TLC.
Pete Rose.
That's right. 71-year-old Pete Rose.
That was just a wild guess.
Pete Rose, his own reality show, and he's got a model, Kiana Kim, is his fiance.
Who's that?
I have no idea. I didn't even take the time to Google it. Series is going to follow the couple as they plan a wedding and go through the process of blending their respective families. The show is so far untitled. Pete Rose is 71.
What the hell is he getting married for?
Well,
at 71. And how old is this girl? Is this like a 28-year-old?
Here's all I can say. Evidently, even at 71, baseball's all-time hit leader evidently can still swing the bat.
Oh,
yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes,
went over so well.
Yeah, that was for you. Doug Duda, Mike Will, Mitch Mumma on the Doug and Daddy Show. Now, I've done this with all the co-hosts, and I didn't get to it off the top of the broadcast because we went a different direction. But, Mitch, not everybody knows who Mitch Mumma is, so give them a little bit of your background, where you grew up, what you did school-wise, what you're doing now.
Sure, Doug, thank you. I'm a Lexington Minutemen graduate. Class of 1984. Actually, I didn't grow up in Lexington. My father was in the education business and moved around a little bit as a child. I started school in Schuyler, Nebraska in early 70s and moved to Ottawa, Iowa.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ouch.
No one wants to live in Ottawa, Iowa.
I don't think I've never been to Ottawa, Iowa.
I don't want to.
It's a small community between Sioux City, Iowa, and Omaha, Nebraska, and right on Interstate I-29 there.
Oh, I probably went by it.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, on your trips.
Oh, yeah, I probably went by it. I'll look for it the next time, all right? Is there a big sign out there that welcomes you to town? Or?
I don't believe so. I do remember they said when we lived there that they had the widest Main Street in America, but
hey, that's something to see.
But
yeah,
that was hard for me to believe.
It's like a detour.
That's right. But I did spend 5 years there in Ottawa, Iowa. I went to school there starting in fifth grade and ended up there as a freshman, and I had a great opportunity to play on the varsity level as a freshman at a small school there in Iowa. Cool. And learned a lot of things. And my dad, originally from Shadron, Nebraska, he missed Nebraska, and so Plus, he was getting tired of getting his house as a high school principal bombarded each week with beer bottles, wine bottles, and several other things. So at the time, you know, as a young person, I didn't really know what was going on. But we were happy to land in Lexington, and it worked out perfectly because our high school system at that time was 10 through 12, and I was going to be a 10th grader. So I fit in as a 10th grader and had some great coaches and some great teammates at Lexington High School.
Well, Lexington obviously was a hotbed for a number of years, and it didn't stop there after Lexington. Went on and played a little ball.
Yes, I did. I was fortunate enough to get an athletic and academic scholarship to McCook Junior College, and I played both basketball and golf there for the Indians for 2 years, and was fortunate to go on to Peru State College and finish my career on the basketball team there.
Now, one of the stories that UNK fans aren't going to want to hear, but Peru State and Kearney State at the time had some battles, and you were on one of the teams that pulled off one of the great upsets.
Yes, I was. My first year at Peru State, I believe Kearney State and Jerry Heiser and Tom Kropp and the boys, I believe they were third in the country in the NAIA level, and they came into Peru, and we played one of the best games of the season, and knocked off Bart Kofod and of course Joel Heiser, and I can't recall all the names, but they were a highly ranked team, and that was probably one of the highlights of my college career.
Well, all the Kearney people are now converging on the studio. One other thing, every school has a little something. I mean, when Kearney, UNK, goes to Wayne State, they throw stuff on the floor. They go to Shadron, it gets a little ugly. What do they do at Peru State? Is there any kind of traditions or, ceremonies, for lack of a better word, that they do every time, every ball game, no matter who's in town?
No, not really. I just felt that the team got ready in practice each week, and we didn't have any traditions that I recall. I know we did have an excellent play-by-play guy that did each and every home game, and he'd get fired up and announce the names in different ways and try to get the fans into the game.
Well, I know, Mike, that Peru State, I don't know a lot of great athletic alums from Peru State. I know Mitch Muma, and I know Todd Gatula, and I know there's somebody I'm forgetting out there. But you know any great Peru State alum, Mike?
No, that's about two more than I know. I've been to Peru State. They used to have a blue tartan surface on their basketball floor. Was that in your day, or was that after your day?
That was in my day. It sure was. And after 3 hours of practice each and every day, my knees felt it after about 3 or 4 months of running on that hard court. But they've gone through some renovations there in their facilities the past few years, and the basketball facility is now just like most basketball facilities across the country. They've got the nice wood floor, and it really looks really, really nice.
Our women's basketball team from Hastings College played down there during Tony Hobson's career. You're at Hastings College. We went down and played at Peru State. He always whined about that tartan surface.
Every time we went down there.
I know. He whined a lot.
Well, that was probably a home court advantage for the Bobcats.
We got beat one time down there. One of our better, I think it was one of our national championship teams that we have. We actually started the season down at Peru State and got beat. You don't think Tony Hobson was hot at that?
Oh, Hastings. Well, we always gave Hobson crap about that. They always started 2-2 or 3-1. Yeah. I mean, if they went 34-2, then they went 3-1. But they never got out of the first 2 weeks without losing a ball game, but that's some of the competition they saw. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to talk about some athletics going on at Hastings College. Ted Flagatis steps down as the soccer coach, promotes on. We've got a new women's basketball program going over there with coaches and the staff coming on. Mitch has got, I want to ask him about, he's got some ties with the Nebraska men's basketball program, does some work with them, does some camps with them, does some of his own camps, was telling me over the weekend, still in contact with Coach Collier, which I know will bristle some people out there. I've always said, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, nice guy, just wasn't the basketball coach for Nebraska, but we'll talk about that with Mitch and his work with Barry Collier, Doc Sadler, and what he thinks of the Tim Miles era. Plus, Paul Keels is coming in to join us, the voice of Ohio State, to talk Buckeye football. That's all coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But as you get ready for lunch, don't forget lunch, happy hour, end of the night. No matter where you are, Cunningham's is the place to be. And don't forget that you can stop into Cunningham's for lunch today, get any specialty burger and a bottle of the coldest domestic draft beer in town for $6.49. And if that's not your deal, pizza, prime rib, chicken, burgers, bacon-wrapped shrimp skewers, maybe you just want an appetizer, I always recommend the Journal Bites. And entertainment every night out in the courtyard, almost every night, Wednesday through Saturday, live entertainment inside, and it's always something different. They've had Irish bands, local rock, country, mix it up a little bit. They've had just about everything, and they will have more entertainment there for you tonight. So whether you're going in for lunch, whether you're going in for the coldest beer in town, or whether you're going in for an evening of entertainment, Cunningham's Journal and the Courtyard, the place to be, 23rd Street on the Bricks, downtown Kearney. Back with more after this.
Hi, it's The Herd. One thing StubHub and ESPN have in common, they're both all about taking care of fans. That's why StubHub and ESPN have decided to create a Hall of Fame just for you. The Hall of Fans. Think you've got what it takes to be in the inaugural class? Then submit your application on thehalloffans.com for a chance to be one of the first inducted. You'll win a trip to ESPN Studios, be featured in ESPN the magazine, receive a $1,000 StubHub gift certificate, and most importantly, be permanently enshrined in the Hall of Fans in Bristol, Connecticut. So don't wait. Submit your entry now at thehalloffans.com.
StubHub!
Hi, Tom Baudet. Experts say the less-than-terrific economy has spawned a new trend toward value and saving money. Well, I guess that would officially make Motel 6, still the home of clean, comfortable rooms for the lowest price of any national chain, way ahead of the curve. Being smart with your money has never been cooler, and if being hip and trendy is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you. Book online at motel6.com.
I'm in the gym with some guys all 30 and older, asking them about the Charger Pack from Complete Nutrition.
My name's Brian. I'm 34. The Charger Pack helped me lose about 15 pounds. Really, I have more stamina than I did 5 years ago.
For guys 30 and older, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The Charger Pack increases energy levels, and you'll lose fat around your midsection for a stronger core.
Charger Night, I've been taking that now for 6 months, and I've never slept better. I think just a combination of that Charger product really sets the tone for what I need.
Take it from these guys. If you're a male, 30 and older, and you want to naturally lean up and replenish your energy and stamina, get to Complete Nutrition and recharge with a Charger Pack.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. After a slow start, the Angels finished the first half closing the gap with the Rangers.
To left, that one way back, and that one is gone. Home run, Albert Pujols.
Now they go head-to-head at Angels Stadium of Anaheim.
Turning, looking, gone. Home run, Josh Hamilton.
Major League Baseball on ESPN is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, where unlimited wings are back for a limited time. Weekdays from 11 to 2, all the wings and fries you can eat for a special price.
A blend of clouds and sunshine today. Slight chance of scattered showers or storms as we head to a high near 100. Wind shifting northeast 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy with light east winds 5 to 10 and a low of 70. Right now, it's 88.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Tomorrow, we're going to talk with Scott Powers of ESPN Chicago about Northwestern, but we can also talk to him about Matt Forte and the Bears, because I know we got a lot of Bears fans around here. Also, Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network is going to join us. Last year, he hosted all the gala at Big Ten Media Days, and they have... It's unlike, I mean, you're watching what they're doing. If you're watching anything on ESPN, you know that SEC Media Days is going on this week. And they let the fans kind of in and around. But they have a special banquet down at Big Ten Media Days for all of this that's going on. Chris Fowler is going to be the host for it this year. But you buy $100 tickets, and it is a huge ballroom. All the coaches are there. There are 36 players. All the players that go to Media Days are going to be there. And remember, last year, that is where Kirk Cousins got up and spoke on behalf of the players, and that interview or that speech went viral. YouTube, ESPN, just an incredible speech by Kirk Cousins. Denard Robinson of Michigan is the chosen one this year that will be speaking to the masses, and the Big Ten Network, of course, will be covering that, and Chris Fowler will be talking to the coaches, and that's what wraps up Big Ten Media Days. So we're looking forward to that coming up next week. Mike and I will be there in Chicago with Thursday and Friday shows live, and then, of course, talking much more about that leading up to the start of the college football seasons, talking to a variety of great athletes. And I'll tell you what.
I'm excited to go to Chicago. It's the first time I've had a chance to go with you guys.
Yeah, and I'm looking for it's a different deal, and Mike did not go to Big 12 Media Days. We talk about this every time, every year this comes up. I mean, I think the last year we were there in Dallas, it was 26 radio stations on hand, plus the Big 12 television website and their network and everything that they did. And last year at Big 10 Media Days, it was either, I think it was 10 radio stations, five of them from the state of Nebraska. And because wow. because Nebraska came in, that's the first year they overly, I mean, they really facilitated to the radio crew. They never really even had anything set up in previous years. So it showed you the difference between conferences right there.
I think the only reason you're asking me to go is to carry your suitcase. You're limited to one small bag and maybe a carry-on because I'm not carrying 13 suitcases through O'Hare Airport.
Well, we don't have to carry suitcases. Don't you remember that new equipment we got? We can wheel it right through there.
We're taking that thing. We're taking that big old bag.
It won't fit in the overhead, I'll tell you that.
Oh, jeez.
I told a couple buddies I might be able to smuggle them on, but they're going to have to ride down below, I'll tell you what. Folks, speaking of bigger and better, that is what is done with our friends in Hastings at T&L Irrigation, worldwide headquarters located in Hastings, serving every state in the union and 60-plus country worldwide. T&L has a wide range of operating controls that will match your pivot management requirements, and they're GPS ready with Precision Point Control 3. It lets you set up to five variable application areas, and you get the real-time operating information right there. You can do everything anymore with GPS and smartphones, and they're there for you with T&L Irrigation. You can learn more from your local dealer or TLIRR.com. A dry land not doing so well this year, so take care of your stuff with TLIRR.com. Mention Hastings College. Mitch Moo and Mike Will along with me. A couple of stories going on with Hastings coaching, Mike.
Yeah, first of all, the women's soccer coach leaves yesterday, Ted Flugaitis. And I guess the timing is the weird thing right now. We're a month away from the first exhibition game that Hastings College plays. It'll be on August the 18th, and they open their season this year on August the 31st, and Flugaitis, who had a very successful five-year run at Hastings College, just all of a sudden steps down, albeit a Division I job as he moves on to Western Illinois. So he gets a great job. I don't know what happened at Western Illinois, but all of a sudden Flugaitis is gone, and we're looking for a women's soccer coach just 30 days before we get on the field.
Well, and the new athletic director, Mr. Schmutty, Jerry Schmutty, has to be scratching his head. I mean, it's no fault of his own, but what do you do in this situation? I mean, the volleyball program got thrown in this situation a year ago. What's the approach?
He says there's not going to be an interim coach name, so I have a funny feeling that he's got someone in mind already to take over this job. That's going to leave somebody else scratching too, because whoever they bring in here, obviously, it's going to leave the school that he's leaving in a bad situation. But how would you like to be Jerry Schmutty? He takes over the job at Hastings College from Ian Roberts on June 1st of this year. And he's had, you know, he thought he was going to have a nice, cool little summer, kind of breeze on through the summer and get ready for the fall campaign. No, he's got to hire three coaches right off of the bat. He hires the women's basketball coach in Kerry Hofstetter the other day. He just got done naming the women's golf coach, and now, bam, the same day, matter of fact, we received word that Ted Flugaitis was leaving late yesterday afternoon. So just as he got one position filled, he's out on the campaign trail again. Plus, I understand he's had to hire a, a head trainer and a couple of other people within the athletic department. So it's been anything but a normal summer for Jerry Schmoney after taking the job from Morningside.
Yeah, I knew that they were looking for training staff coming over, and I believe I heard or was told at least someone in the area was going to be taking that over. So he'll have some – I guess he didn't have to learn everybody that was here. He just had to learn the new people that that were coming in. And I guess in most cases, though, Mike, and I include the football program, most of these coaches are using Hastings. They're building up the program, and they're moving on to bigger and better things. And at the NAIA Division II level, I guess that's about what you would expect. You don't want to have to get rid of coaches. It's nice that when they're leaving, they're going on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, Ted is moving on to Illinois State, which is a Division I school in Bloomington. Actually, they're going to a Western Illinois. Get those Illinois schools all mixed up. But anyway, he's heading there, a Division I school. They weren't real good last year, 7-12, but he's got a couple of years to build it. And hey, anytime that those coaches in the NAIA level move up to Division I, they're going to take it.
Mitch Muba's with me in studio. He's coaching golf. He's coached basketball. There's a whole different level when you're dealing with high schools, isn't it, Mitch? Because I know that it is even more tough when you're under contract. You really have to have a good, relationship with your athletic director and board. I mean, it's part of the deal, and sometimes these things don't offer up, and sometimes coaches aren't allowed to move on because the school where they're at, are their hands are tied. They can't get people. It's a little different situation, isn't it?
Yes, it is on the high school level or in the public school arena anyway. They keep moving it back, it seems, each year. It used to be, you know, July 1. Now it's June 1 in most schools, and it's hard to get out of your contract, especially if you do a super job at the school that you're at, you know, currently. And so schools, they don't like to lose, you know, professional great people. And,
well, and especially small Western schools, because this is where the younger teachers kind of get their start, class D, C level jobs.
I agree with you. Yes, that's a huge part of it. And I don't blame the administrators. You know, they want to keep good people in their schools and in their communities, and you know, coaches are in the business probably to advance, and you know, someday that's hopefully going to happen if that's their, you know, number one goal. But you know, it's kind of a gray area.
Hey, Mike, our poll question yesterday, ESPNSuperstation.com, was how do you think Tiger Woods will do in the British Open? Win it, miss the cut, finish in the top 10, finish outside the top 10. I went with the old finish outside the top 10. What do you think?
I go win it. I think it's time. He's number one in the world right now, not ranking wise, but FedEx rankings number one. He's won more on the tour this year than anybody. I was hoping you'd ask that question because I'm a big Tiger Woods guy.
I love Tiger. I didn't get the same feeling, but it looks like the weather might be a little bit better now they're talking about. What do you think, Mitch?
I'm a big Tiger fan as well. You know, I'd like to see him win it, but, you know, there's a lot of pressure to win that next major. So it'll be interesting.
Well, 69% of our voters said he will finish in the top 10.
Woo!
19% outside the top 10, 12% win it. Nobody, 0% on miss the cut. So there you go. Today's poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com picks you up points towards our Hy-Vee Rewards Club, where you can get all kinds of great prizes. Are the Chicago White Sox a better team without Ozzie Guillen, who once again is kind of stirring things up down at Miami with the whole Bryce Harper incident? And the White Sox are in first place. Mike, I'll let you go first. Are the Chicago White Sox a better team without Ozzie Guillen as their manager?
No. No.
Mitch, what do you
think? I like Ozzy.
I'm not a big baseball guy, so I have no idea.
He's gonna defer to us. Well, the stats say that they are a better team without Ozzie Guillen, and I guess it's his distractions that maybe that's what this poll question comes down to. Folks, ESPNSuperstation.com is the place that you can vote on the poll question. Mike, I think before we forget this whole golf thing, how's your golf game?
You know what? You're not going to believe this. My golf clubs are exactly the same place they were when I put them away last year. In the trunk of my car. In the trunk of my car. They have not seen the sunshine yet in 2012.
Oh, and the courses around Central Nebraska and Hastings are happy and thankful for that. And at Elm Creek, first ever state medalist. Now, that's grass greens. I mean, I think the first one ever. Explained that to me. You had some success this year, though.
Yes, we did. We had a young man named Britton Ferguson place ninth in the Nebraska Class D state championships this year, and as far as I know, that's a first in Elm Creek golf history.
Where do you guys, what do you do for practice? Because you don't have the backyard course. Do you have a course that you go to? What do you guys do?
Yes, we do. We go to Overton Country Club or Meadowlark Hills, just depending on the situation and what we need to work on. And most of the time we do go to Overton, you know, Country Club, and we try to get to the range at Meadowlark at least once a week. Unfortunately, we lost our driving range in Elm Creek a few years ago, and to be a great golfer, in my opinion anyway, you need to have a driving range and spend the time hitting the balls outside of actually playing 1 through 9 or 1 through 18 on the golf course.
Another one of our problems, Mike, we don't practice.
We don't even know what the word means. I just say tee it up on Main Street there in Elm Creek and use that as your driving range.
I don't think the local businesses would like
that. Oh, you don't worry about that.
get some good carry on that, no doubt about it. A couple of other sports notes as we're rolling along on the Doug and Daddy Show. Organizers at the British Open say that they are going to be cracking down on slow play. They expect there's a couple of, because of the number, there's a few just twosomes. And they expect them to play their round in 3 hours and 45 minutes. And if you're in a threesome, they expect you to be done in 4.5 hours. And they're cracking down on that across the pond. And so we'll see how that all plays out. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, a little baseball. We've got a couple of teams that are on to state and a couple of more that will qualify tonight. The B5 Juniors final in Albion. Aurora and Albion play tonight. Albion would have to win twice starting at 5:30. Cozad took two from Minden last night to advance to the Class B state tournament at Shadron. The Class C Juniors will be in North Bend. Hebron defeated Davenport Edgar. They are headed to state. And tonight, it's as many towns as you can get together. Palmer, Wallback, Greeley, Spalding taking on Taylor, Burwell, Sargent. And they will be playing the championship tonight at 6 o'clock in St. Paul. Palmer, Wallback, Greeley is the undefeated team there. And the seniors get going this weekend. And, Mike, I know you got some of that on KHAS.
At the Area 7 baseball tournament. But Hastings and Kearney, they play again. North Platte plays Scotts Bluff in the first game at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and Hastings and Kearney play at 8.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chat with Paul Keels, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, when we come back.
Hi, it's the Herd. For all you parents out there, what's the best thing you can do for your family? Book that summer vacation you've been dreaming of? Take them out to dinner on a Friday night? Sounds fun, but the best thing you can do is also the smartest thing. Protect your family with a LegalZoom last will or living trust. I did. Taking a few minutes to complete your will or living trust at LegalZoom.com not only protects your family and assets, but shows how much you really care by making sure they're taken care of if something happens. LegalZoom wills start at just $69. That's less than a dinner out, and they last a lifetime. Their documents have been accepted by courts and government agencies in all 50 states. Plus, you'll get LegalZoom's $50,000 guarantee and attorney help when you need it through their personal legal plans. LegalZoom's not a law firm and provides self-help services at your direction. Save even more by typing Colin, C-O-L-I-N, in the referral box at checkout. Take a few minutes today to protect your family. For wills, trusts, and more, go to LegalZoom.com.
There are happy hours, and then there are HK happy hours. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to take advantage of the best happy hours around. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you get a buck off all long necks. Thursdays, it's $1.50 pints. Fridays, all drinks are half price from 3 to 6. And on Saturdays, tackle our $2.50 24-ounce big cans of beer. On Sundays, it's 11 buck 100-ounce towers and 12 buck buckets. And remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better direct-to-you VIP offers and monthly gift card drawings.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association,
Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A blend of clouds and sunshine today. Slight chance of scattered showers or storms as we head to a high near 100. Wind shifting northeast 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy with light east winds 5 to 10 and a low of 70. Right now, it's 88.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Mike Will, voice of the Hastings College Broncos, with us today. We're going to talk with the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes and Paul Keels here in just a moment. Also, Mitch Mumma with us, coaching and teaching over at Elm Creek. And I think one of the first times I ever met Mitch, he was coaching basketball over there. And your love of basketball, Mitch, is, I think, maybe unsurpassed locally. With Nebraska struggling, and everybody loves it on the high school level, but you're a guy that likes to watch basketball, I think, at every level. And you go shoot, you still play. I mean, you're still a basketball. It's your passion.
Oh, yes, it is. I have a huge passion for the game of basketball. It started at a very young age as my dad was a high school basketball coach, and he didn't force me into the game. It was just something that I loved as a you know, 5 or 6 year old, and I've just grown with the game each and every year since.
And you're trying to pass that along. You run camps. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I've in the past few years worked at the University of Nebraska with Barry Collier and Doc Sadler, and I haven't had the chance to meet Tim Miles yet, but I work there, you know, weekly basketball camps each summer, usually, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks, just depending on the schedule and how it works out. But I just love the game. I love helping kids, and it seems, in my opinion, that one skill that kids are struggling with nowadays is shooting the basketball. And as a two-time state champion as a youngster in the Knights of a Columbus free throw contest each year, you know, I hate to see kids that don't shoot the ball well, you know, boys or girls. And so I feel as an educator and as a coach that I want to you know, teach them the right way to shoot the basketball. And God's given me a lot of gifts, and I appreciate that, and I want to give back.
Mike, there's no doubt we've seen that too. I mean, we hear that a lot. There's defensive coaches now. Well, the reason we have defensive coaches is because they can't score, and it's one of the ways to keep it competitive and maybe build your program. But there's no doubt over the last decade, as we've covered games, and we've done it for way more than that, but you just see scores continually go down.
Yeah, how many games have you covered in the past, let's just say, 5 years? That the winning team only shoots like 32% from the floor. I do college basketball, and there are some days, and that's a good night for us, 32%.
it is true. I mean, it is true. And I would have thought with the invention of the three-point line that maybe percentages would have gotten better. I actually thought because it would unclog the lane, big guys would have a little bit more. But that's another thing. How many? When I was a little kid and all my, you know, uncles or cousins, and back in the 60s and 70s, you're talking about Chuck Jura not even being the biggest guy on the floor. Everybody was, I mean, you had Class C and D schools that put up a front line of 6'7", 6'7", 6'8". And you, I mean, Elm Creek's got a young man right now that I was very impressed with the last couple of years. It's got a little bulk and height on him. But even at the Class A level right now, you just don't see a lot of big guys inside. And if you can't shoot the ball from the outside, And I think we all know what we're blaming it on. We're blaming it on the video game era. There's no doubt about it. It's a lot easier to make a basket on your Wii than it is out in your driveway, ain't it, Mitch?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, these kids stay inside too much, in my opinion. When I was growing up, we didn't have the video games. We didn't have the iPhones. We didn't have the computer. We went out and played not only basketball, we played all kinds of different sports, football. We ran at the track. you know, baseball was huge, and unfortunately things have changed quite a bit, in my opinion, on that end of things.
What is the key best of shooting the basketball?
Number one is you got to have the right technique. You got to go 100%. Otherwise, you're just wasting your own time, and you're not going to get any better. But you got to shoot the ball correctly, and you got to be consistent, and you got to put in the time.
Got to be taught that.
Yes, you got to be taught that. I was talking to a person this week that, you know, the kid plays on the high school level, and the coach, well, you should already know how to shoot, you know. And I feel as a coach on the high school level, and I've helped, you know, at the highest level on the Division I area, you know, level, that, you know, that's part of the job as a coach. Not everybody's a great shooter, but if you teach them the proper technique, they can develop that over time.
Yeah, you got to hope that happens. As you've worked these camps, are you seeing it getting better? Are you seeing the right things go on? Are you seeing even certain types of kids, Metro kids, non-Metro kids, out-of-state kids? Can you already tell where they're from, where they grew up, if their dad was a coach? I mean, can you tell during these camps what these kids are getting better at? And is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, we hope so. You know, I believe that the kids that come from the cities, you know, Lincoln, Omaha, that, you know, they have a lot more opportunities and a lot more options. You know, basketball is basketball, though. You doesn't matter where you're at. All you need is a basket and a ball. You don't need teammates to get better at shooting. But I feel like you asked me about that, the city kids probably are a little bit better, a little bit more advanced than the kids that come from a smaller community, because they play and they play on different teams.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of 75-72 games anymore, do we, Michael?
Not around my neck of the woods. How about you?
Very, very rarely, unless it goes into double overtime. But there are still some kids out there that can stroke the ball. I mean, you look at Gazelle, but heck, if you can shoot the ball anymore, you're getting name recognition across the state, and you find a way, I guess, to move on and head to that next level. You worked with Barry Collier. You were telling me you still stay in touch. Your thoughts on what's going on with Nebraska basketball, I guess, is the best way to put it. It didn't work for Barry. Everybody loved Doc, and they couldn't win any games. I think he caught some bad breaks with the kids that just didn't either got hurt or didn't get signed. And then you bring in what should be a fireballer in Tim Miles, although I thought the same thing at Doc Sadler. What about your relationship with the previous two coaches?
Yes, I was very fortunate to work with the first of all, Coach Barry Collier. At the time, I was out of the high school game, and I still had that burning passion to, you know, learn more about the game, and so I kept attending Nebraska practices over and over any free time that I had, and was taking notes, and was able to meet one of his top assistants in Scott Spinelli, mm-hmm. A person who I regard very highly, and he's at University of Maryland right now, but he's probably one of the top recruiters in the country. And Scott opened the door, you know, to Coach Collier, and one thing led to another, and I was persistent. And my last year with Coach Collier, I was able to, you know, to attend all practices, and he allowed me in the locker rooms before each and every home game, halftime of each and every home game, and all the post games too. So I learned a tremendous amount, not only about basketball, but how to treat people.
Well, and Barry, of course, back to Butler as their AD and doing a great job there as well. So great to get a little insight. Are we going to head in the right direction? Miles going to get it done? You said you haven't met him, but did you like the hire?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's won everywhere he's been. You know, he's coming in from Colorado State, and you know, before that he was at North Dakota State, Mayville State. He's won everywhere, so I hope it is contagious, and I hope he gets Nebraska back to the NC2A tournament where they belong.
Mike, I can already tell what we need to do. We just need to call it Nebraska State.
How long is it going to take, you think, Mitch?
Oh, I'm going to give Coach Miles, you know, at least 3 to 4 years. I know this year – I don't have – it's going to be brutal. You know, we do have a few players coming back, but this coming year, it's going to be awful tough, especially if he redshirts the players that, you know, he wants to.
You got any eligibility left? We could probably use you.
Unfortunately, no. I'm out of eligibility.
I hope it's a good football season because there's not going to be much to. We're gonna have to pin our hopes on the ladies though once again. Michael, anything else sports wise? Because I think we're about ready to hook up here with Coach Paul Keels. Anything else you want to touch on?
Well, I think we're going to bring up Carrie Hofstetter, the new women's basketball coach at Hastings College, is starting to develop her staff now. We understand she has hired her assistant coach is going to be Amanda McKenzie, and kind of a familiar name. She played with the Broncos, played on the national championship teams in 2003 and in 2006, also appeared in the Final Four in 2004. So once again, just another staple from the Tony Hobson era. It's all coming back together, and hopefully this group can get the job done. I'm really excited for the basketball season coming up.
Well, and at Hastings, it starts like next week, doesn't it?
So she's probably got him going through camps already.
Hey, folks, it's time now for our 12 teams in 12 days. And before we play the Fancy Open, all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK. And enjoyed breakfast there yesterday. I love the ham croissant. Once you get some tater tots, then, you know, depending, maybe you need a Dr. Pepper to get you going. Maybe you need an orange juice. And, by the way, it doesn't matter if you want a hamburger or a cheeseburger or the Whopper in the morning. They'll take care of that for you. Full menu served every moment that they are open. Breakfast from 6 to 11. And the place to go is BK, next to Walmart, 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue near the Kearney Cinema for the two locations in Kearney. Also, Lexington, home of Mitch Muma, Cozad, and North Platte.
It's that time, 12 teams in 12 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 26th through the 28th. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Leaders Division for today's team,
Ohio State.
The Buckeyes. It's time for 12 teams in 12 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Our 12 teams in 12 days continues with the Ohio State Buckeyes today. The Buckeyes under first-year head coach Urban Meyer trying to make some noise, not going to be eligible for the conference championship game, but hey, still eligible to play some great football and bounce back from their first losing record since 1988. The voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, gracious enough to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, one of the many new friends that we have came in acquaintance with over the last year. Paul, just back off vacation, hopefully refreshed and ready to go. How you doing?
Doing good. I think everybody's kind of anxious and ready to see what this kind of this coming season is going to look like.
Well, with all the scandals going on, unfortunately, throughout the Big Ten, I think Ohio State now is just ready to settle down and play some football. What's the feeling like right now as we get closer and closer to the opening of the season?
Well, you know, it was a year ago that we still didn't know all of what was going to happen when it came to sanctions and things like that. And I think there's kind of a sigh of relief now that everybody knows it's all in the past. Disappointing in the fact that they were given a one-year bowl ban, and there was a guess that had they known that, they might have voluntarily taken one last year. But as Gene Smith said, there's no guarantee that even if they had taken one, that they still wouldn't have got one for this coming year. But I think there's a lot of curious anticipation about what Ohio State's going to look like under Urban Meyer, especially offensively, and hope to build on some of the excitement that occurred around here during the spring football game.
Well, obviously, just hiring Urban Meyer is going to give the program a lot of buzz. What have you seen so far since he's come on campus?
Well, I think the fact that he's somebody that's a native of the state of Ohio, he's been an assistant coach here before. Obviously, Ohio State was a place that he wanted to be at. That makes a big difference. And in all of the things that, from what we understand, that he's done during the spring and the summer and speaking engagements and golf outings and all of that, he's been nothing but positive and upbeat. And I think even during spring football, we got a real good taste of just the affection that he has for Ohio State, not only as a football program, but as a university and an institution. And as he put his coaching staff together, the fact that all of the head coach or all of the assistant coaches on his staff either are natives of the state of Ohio or have coached in Ohio at the high school or collegiate level. So certainly there's been a lot of those type of things that have made for good headlines and have created a lot of enthusiasm.
Voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN. I noticed in one of the articles trying to get ready for Ohio State here, he has also, like most coaches, wanted him to do well in the classroom, but it looks like maybe he's taken it another step. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's something that I think has not changed in the last 30-plus years, and there's a lot of consistency with some of the people that are involved in what goes on academically around Ohio State in their athletic department and with their football team. So he certainly has, like the coaches before him, has made that a point of pride and something that players need to make sure that they take care of that end of the bargain. But also we've seen a strong stance when it's come to off-the-field problems. You know, there was an incident during the Memorial Tournament when the PGA Tour came here where a couple of starters were suspended and taken off scholarship for the summer quarter. They have every opportunity to earn their way back on, and there's no reason to think they won't. There have been a couple of dismissals because of more serious off-the-field problems. So it's been a hard line that Urban Meyer and this coaching staff have taken with what's expected on the football field and off the football field.
And one of those incidents occurred here just within the last couple of weeks with Storm Klein, a starting linebacker who may not have been in that position this year, but still a key cog. Is he just permanently going to be off the team? I see that everything says there's a chance if situations change, but what's the story there?
Well, that is a real, real headline grabber, Doug, because this is a guy, as you said, who did start last year, probably would not start this year, but would play a lot. The window has been open if the charges change, possibly to being reinstated, but this is not Storm's first run-in with authorities off the field. He was involved in a rather serious incident a number of years ago, but no charges were filed because of legal agreements with families all involved. So it's something, and especially when it's attached to that tag, domestic violence, that gets everybody's attention, and obviously there's more important things that he needs to get in line rather than football. But that was one that the action was swift, and I think because it was not his first off-the-field problem, even though that occurred under previous coaching staff. But I think it also says something that if the window is open, but I would be very, very surprised if Storm Klein does become part of this football team again, given the seriousness of this charge and the fact that it's not the first time he's been involved in a serious incident.
Paul Keels, voice of Ohio State, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You were telling me you liked the way the makeup of this defense was and that the offense might need a little work. Unfortunately, another kind of strange situation is going to sideline the top running back in Jordan Hall until maybe the third week of the season. Let the fans know about that.
Yeah, that one really got everybody's attention because Jordan Hall's been a guy that even as he came in as a true freshman was able to make immediate contributions to this football team. And folks really kind of looked at him as maybe being in that same role that Urban Meyer had Percy Harvin in down in Florida. He's a guy that has been outstanding when it comes to returning kicks, catching passes out of the backfield. And he cut his foot walking in his front yard barefoot on a piece of glass, cut it to the point where he needed surgery. So it's a senior, it's an experienced guy, a guy that could be valuable to this team in so many areas. The one good thing is that there's depth at the tailback position. That's one area on offense where they do have some depth. So when you think about a guy like Carlos Hyde, who Nebraska fans I'm sure remember from the game in Lincoln last year, there's something they can go to. But where this offense really needs somebody to step up is on the pass catching end of things. They really don't have an experienced receiver that comes back into everything. Jordan Hall is a guy that could have kind of helped all of that. And when you're talking about a second-year quarterback who needs to improve in the passing game, Jordan Hall early on is going to be a big loss. Hopefully it won't be any longer than that, and he'll be able to get out there and make an impact, even if it is into the third or the fourth game of the year.
And we also know a lot about the big tight end and Jake Stoneburner. He may be the guy that Braxton looks to early on to kind of solidify things.
You know, and it was funny, Doug, last year Jake Stoneburner had four touchdown catches in the first two games of the season, and he kind of became a marked man after that, and teams knew that they needed to take him away from everything. And again, the Nebraska fans, I'm sure, remember what he did early in that game last year there. But Jake Stoneburner is a guy that certainly will be interesting to watch because he was a wide receiver in high school, and he got bigger and larger, put more into the tight end aspect of things when he first got to Ohio State. But there's really a feeling that he probably could be a guy that they could use a little bit as a slot receiver and going wide in certain situations, but an experienced guy, a big target, and a guy that can certainly make some things happen after he catches the football.
Talking with Paul Keels here on the Doug and Daddy Show, let's go back to that Nebraska game, which Ohio State fans want to forget and Nebraska fans use as kind of the turning point of the season, and although it didn't go completely smooth after that, it wasn't like Ohio State quit. They came back with three quality victories after that ball game. What did that game specifically do to the program last year?
Well, I think, and one of the ones right after that was the win over Wisconsin at home, which I think surprised a lot of people that they had the ability to beat a team like Wisconsin. But I think what the Nebraska game did is it showed the potential that this football team could have, especially, we mentioned earlier, Doug, with Carlos Hyde running the football the way that he did, and defensively how they, if playing on point, could really be a disruptive football team. It also showed the deficiencies they had at the quarterback position. Braxton Miller was having a very good game until he sustained a foot injury, left the game. Joe Bosserman came in, and the offense really pretty much shut down. They weren't able to run the football with any kind of success. And I think what you saw in that game was that defense was left on the field an awful long period of time and probably wore out. And not to take anything away from the great comeback that Nebraska had, but it exposed that Ohio State defense being on the field too long. So, but what it did is it showed the potential of what that team could have done playing well on the field, playing well on the road in a tough environment. And, that's one of those things that I think people are anxious to see. Can this team this year go into an environment like a Nebraska when you think about them going to play at Penn State and at Michigan State this year? Can they go to places like that and be able to come away with much-needed road victories?
Well, Urban Meyer looks like he's got a very favorable schedule from the non-conference. Every game's at home. There's no top, depending on what you want to say with California, there's no top 10, 15 program on there as there has been in the past. But then the first two games of the conference are going to say a lot, at Michigan State and then the Nebraska game.
Yeah, without question. And I think if you look at that non-conference schedule, you've got an in-state opponent, which they always do with Miami, Ohio. The Cal series, when that was first agreed to, Cal was a team that was, a top 10 team at that point in time. So you never know how those things are going to shake out, almost 10 years down the road. And then, with the expansion of schedules and you add those guarantee games with Central Florida and UAB. But you're right, those first two games, especially playing at Michigan State, a team that came very close to shutting Ohio State out last year here in Columbus, and a team that I think a lot of people in their division are going to look at is one of the favorites to contend in their division. So that's going to be big. And then coming back home to play Nebraska at night, the first time Nebraska's been to Columbus in a long time, and it'll be the last time they're here for a while because of the schedule rotation. That certainly is one that's got everybody excited here. So we'll get an idea pretty quickly. And, because there's no bowl game and there's no opportunity for this team to play in the Big Ten championship game, it certainly puts a little bit of a different look on what this season will be like with highlight games like that.
Just a couple seconds left here with Paul Keels, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You've got so many guys that are on these preseason award watch lists, but you have a free safety in C.J. Barnett, led the team in tackles last year, which I don't know that you always want to see a free safety being able to do that, but tell us about this special young man and what you expect. Is he going to be the man again to look at on the defense with all these good players on the line?
Well, I think he's one of the potential players that could be a guy that could be one of those headline grabbers. When you think about, you're right, you don't like to have a defensive back leading your team in tackles, and this is a guy who very early on in his career had to overcome some injury to be able to be a key player. And again, I think, Doug, what we saw last year, this defense was left on the field an awful long period of time in a number of games, and it exposed him a little bit. But defensively is where this team could really do some good things. You look at that back end, and you look at the experience they have with Travis Howard, with Orion Johnson, and C.J. Barnett, Christian Bryant. You look at what they've got on the defensive line with John Simon coming back, Jonathan Hankins, Garrett Goebel, a lot of guys that have played an awful lot, and we've seen Ohio State use a rotation of defensive linemen to be able to keep them fresh. The area everybody's excited to see what might happen is at linebacker, and we talked earlier, and they've got young guys that maybe you're going to jump in there and do some things, like a Ryan Shazier, who late in the season last year became an impact player, and Etienne Sabino, who's going to be a fifth-year senior. So defensively, there's experience, there's ability, but this defense is going to be aided if the offense can maintain some balance and if they can maintain some drives and limit their time on the field.
Well, I know we're a month and a half away, but Paul, what do you think with not having that postseason, I guess, carrot at the end of the stick there, what do you think this Ohio State team will do this year?
Well, I think it's a team that will play with a purpose because of that ban, and especially the seniors, they're going to look to make the most out of each and every opportunity they have. It's certainly, everybody's kind of talking the Michigan game here in Columbus at the end of the year will be looked at as a bowl game. But it certainly is a team that I think you have to look at within their division. They can be a competitor to try and finish first in the division, even though it would be kind of a shallow thing, and you know, they wouldn't be able to go to Indianapolis after that. But it's a team that can contend. They've got some major hurdles out there, and you mentioned it, Doug, with the first two Big Ten games that they have, and then, of course, with Michigan coming in here. So it's a team that certainly you have to look at. I don't know if I'd say they're the favorite in their division, but certainly one of the favorites, and a team that has got the ability to be able to play at the standards that Ohio State fans have come to expect. Can they do it each and every game is maybe the question. We'll have to wait and see.
And the final question we have for every one of our guests, Paul, is who do you think will win each of the divisions? You have a preseason or prognostication for us?
Wow. I think that, you know, in this division, I think you have to look at either Ohio State or Wisconsin. And you know, obviously the factor with Wisconsin is going to be, you know, how will their second consecutive year of getting a transfer quarterback come in? How will that make a difference? And I think in you know, in the division where you guys are, Doug, I think certainly Michigan is a team you have to look at because of the explosiveness of Denard Robinson. Nebraska you have to look at because of potentially what Taylor Martinez and Rex Burkhead can do to get an offense going. But Michigan State's the one that I think is probably really got a lot of people's attention because of the, even though they're replacing a quarterback, they've got a lot of other pieces to fit in there and how well they play defensively. So I think in that division that you guys are looking at, that's probably going to be a tighter finish than on this side.
Well, Paul, we appreciate the extended chat here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Can't wait to see you in Chicago, and we'll let you get back to work.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Keels joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for a preview of Ohio State. We kind of hit some of the big boys all in a row there. Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, all for different reasons. And, God, you think about that. All week we've had teams that have been in a little bit of trouble. Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. Let's quit that. Let's get to the brainiacs of the league. Northwestern tomorrow. And, of course, you know, Ohio State, probably Nebraska's greatest victory last year. Northwestern, by far, Nebraska's greatest defeat last year. And we will talk with Scott Powers of ESPN Chicago. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network will join us. Mark Baldwin is going to be my special co-host. And here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth today, Mitch Muma's been with us. Mike Will's been with us. And folks, don't forget that Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac is your number one volume Chevy dealer in central Nebraska. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the number one volume size A dealer in the entire Midwest. Named the best new and used car dealer in the Reader's Choice Awards from the Kearney Hub. And if you need to be... If that doesn't sell you right there, then go to their online website, thinkmidway.com. You can see everything you want, special deals out there. They'll keep you up to date. They'll let you know about the Mopar. You can get in. I was talking to some folks the other day. In fact, one of the co-hosts this week says, you know what, I didn't buy my vehicle at Midway, but I still go in and get the oil change, get the work done, and they take care of it because why? They want you to, next time you buy, they want you to be a customer. Midway Auto Dealership. ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Do we still have another break? Holy cow, Mitch. What's going on? We'll take the break and wrap it up after this.
Whoa, it's one of those storm tracker vehicles.
And it looks like he's got Goodyear tires for superior handling in challenging weather.
Well, it's a good thing we both got Goodyears in conditions like these.
True, but we're in a car wash.
Hear that? Storm's getting worse.
That's just the hot wax.
Receive up to $80 off with mail-in rebate when you buy four select Goodyear tires between July 1st, 2012 and August 31st, 2012. Certain conditions and restrictions apply. See retailer for complete details. Goodyear, more driven.
Roofing pros. Right now at the Home Depot, buy a pallet of GAF shingles, including Timberline shingles with a lifetime limited warranty, and get your entire order, the shingles and any other supplies you need, delivered to your job site for free. You'll eliminate time-wasting supply runs and take your productivity through the roof, thanks to free delivery with any pallet of GAF shingles. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 15th, U.S. only. See store for details.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
The Kearney Country Club invites you to register today for their annual Coors 4-Person Golf Scramble August 4th and 5th. Your entry fee includes 2 rounds of golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, and 4 complimentary drink tickets. Friday includes a practice round and 6 p.m. shootout. Get your entries in today for the preferred tee time of 8 a.m. or 1:30 p.m. Saturday, with everyone going Sunday at 10. You can download an entry form at ESPNSuperstation.com or call the Pro Shop to enter your team in the annual Coors 4-Person Golf Scramble at the Kearney Country Club.
Maybe the shortest last segment in Doug and Daddy's show history. Folks, went way over. Thanks so much for being on the program today and joining us. More coming up tomorrow. Mitch Moomin, thanks for coming in, man. Looking forward to doing it again sometime somewhere along the way. Maybe even watching you hit that golf ball right down the middle consistently.
Sure, Doug. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Hey, take care, buddy. Thanks to Mike Will. He's going to be back with us on Friday's program. Tomorrow, Mark Baldwin is going to come in, the special co-host. You've heard Mark on the radio airwaves, been the sports director out at Ogallala, moved on to a new career, has done some games for us here on Platte River Radio in the postseason, and Mark's going to join us on the show tomorrow. Also, Northwestern is our Big Ten Media Days, 12 teams in 12 days. Scott Power from ESPNChicago.com and Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network is going to join us tomorrow on the program as well. We want to thank Paul Keels, the voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, for joining us on the program, especially with our also with our co-host today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Enjoy this warm day. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.